Amen. Just want to let all the men know that we're going to have our breakfast of encouragement this Saturday at 8:30. So we'd like you to come out and be part of that. Get encouraged, get filled up. We'll get you fed up in a good way, not a bad way. Amen. I want to pray over our tithes and offerings tonight. It's such a privilege to give. Amen. You know, I was thinking of the little boy who gave his fish and bread, and God needed it to feed the multitude, but he needed someone to give what they had so that he could multiply it. And there was a little boy who gave his lunch, and he gave it to the Lord. The Lord gave thanks, and that was supernaturally multiplied. And that's a picture for us of what God does for our finances. And when we give tithes and offerings, I don't know how he multiplies it. I just know that he does. Amen? And God is faithful. So, Father, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, as we honor you with our substance and bring the first fruits of all of our increase to you, Lord, you increase our barns with plenty, and you cause our vats to burst out with new wine. You enhance us naturally and spiritually. And we give you glory and praise as you bless every gift and giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to go to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And we're going to begin there. And Paul is praying for the church at Colossae here. I call these scriptural prayers. They are prayers in the Word of God. And you could pray these for yourself. You could pray it for someone else. You could pray it for a group. They're just so awesome. And in verse 9, Paul is saying this, and he says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." Okay? And now he's about to tell us specifically what he was praying for. He said that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So Paul was praying for the church, for the people, for the body of Christ at Colossae, all right? And he prayed that they might be filled with the knowledge of his will. I want you to notice that they might be. Is it possible for you to know God's will? Okay? And that's really what I want to talk to you tonight about, is yielding to God's will completely, all right? And how many has ever came to up to a yield sign? What do you do when traffic is coming and there's a yield sign? Do you proceed forward? Or you give way because something else has to go? And they're not telling you to stop. They're just telling you to yield, to slow down and wait. And but if it's clear, you can go through, okay? And so it is possible to know God's will, to be full of the knowledge of God's will, so that you know what God's will is at any given time and any given moment. Say this with me. Say, God wants me to know what his will is for me. I want you to, God wants you to know that. He wants you to know what he desires. He wants you to know what he wants. He wants you to know what he's called you to. He wants you to know what you've been assigned to. All right? And if you don't know God's will, I would pray this prayer. You know, this is one of the prayers that I prayed. This is one of the scriptures that stood out to me when I was finding out what God wanted me to do. I had no clue. There was a time in my life when I had no clue. And I said, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you fill me with the knowledge of your will. Lord, I thank you that I know what your will is. I thank you, Father, that you've given me access to find out and to discover what your will is for me. And, you know, I prayed that after a while, and lo and behold, I was filled with the knowledge of his will. And I knew exactly what his will was. God showed me what step to take. He showed me what direction to go. He revealed what his will was for me. And the reason that he says might be filled is you can pray for someone to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, but they got to want it. They got to receive it. Do you want it tonight? Are you ready to receive it tonight? You know, not that God's going to make everything clear in this moment, amen? But this is something that you latch onto and you believe that you're going to be filled with the knowledge. You know, filled with knowledge, that means you're going to know what his will is. Okay? And it's going to bring wisdom and spiritual understanding. So then you've got to walk in it. Once you know what God's will is, then it's up to you to walk in it or to carry it out or to do it. Okay? So we want to get ourselves into a position where we can find out what God's will is so that we can do it completely with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. I want to be a person that pleases God. When I get to the end of my life, I want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into joy today." And everyone who finds out what God's will is and does it, you're going to hear that. Amen? So this is something that I feel like the Lord wants us to know. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Let me just give you a few general things about God's will, and then we'll go on from there. Matthew 6 and verse 10. You know, this is part of the Lord's Prayer. And then he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth." How? You know, when God says something in heaven, the angels don't look at God and say, "Oh, really?" You know, when Gabriel got the assignment to go to Mary and reveal God's message, he didn't say, "God, do I have to go?" I mean, can you imagine the angel saying that? Or when Daniel was praying, you know, and it took 21 days for God to answer him, and the angel said, "Whoo, boy, it was a tough fight, man. You know, I barely made it." No. God wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, he wants his will done with that same attitude. In other words, when people in heaven don't resist God's will. If God says this, they do it with such joy. And they're swift about it, amen? You know, when you find out what God's will is for any given moment, you want to do it as quickly as you can. Okay? But God wants his will done on earth as it is in heaven. Go to chapter 7. Go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. He says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does what?" So you could go around and talking, Lord, Lord, but never doing anything. All right? You can say, Lord, Lord, and hate your neighbors. Does God want us to hate our neighbors? When we say, Lord, Lord, we're encompassing everything that God wants. So there's a lot of people, Jesus is talking right here. Not everyone that says. There will be some that say, but not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, so we've got to get ourselves into a position to find out the will of our Father so that we can do it. And God wants us to know it. And if we don't know it, he'll show it. All right? Go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. Jesus tells a little story here. Matthew 21, 28. But what do you think? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work a day in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. Okay? At first he said, I'm not going to do it. But then after he thought about it for a moment, he said, okay, I'm going to change my heart and I'm going to go ahead and do it. All right? And came to the second and said likewise. And he answered, I will go, sir, and went not. All right? So the first one, he said he wasn't going to go, but then he repented and then he went. Second one said, I'm going to go, but he never did. He was saying something, but he wasn't doing something. Okay? And verse 31, it says, whether of them two did the will of his father? And they said unto him, the first one, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. So obviously he was talking to the Pharisees. And so the one who was doing the God's will is the one who actually did something, not the one who said he was going to but never did. Okay? You know, when you do God's will, your actions have to line up with your words. And so we got to be careful what we say. All right? Go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 34. John 4 and 34. Now I'm just laying the foundation right now. But it's gonna get good in here. All right? Because we're gonna see some keys that are gonna help us yield to God's will completely. And in John 4:34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So when Jesus said, it's my meat, it's what sustains me. It's what motivates me. It's what I like to do. It's my meat to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So you're here to do not what you want to do or not what I want to do. I don't even preach what I want. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, I mean, obviously, all preaching is truth poured over personality. So obviously, my personality is going to come out when I preach. But I'm always asking the Father, what do you want to say to the people tonight? Because when it all boils down to it, his word is going to make the difference. I never know who's going to be here and who's not going to be here, but he does. So if I get into a position where I can say what he wants to say, I know that I'll touch a heart somewhere. Because I endeavor and I strive to have my words be God's words. And Jesus, he was just thrilled to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, you're going to have opportunities along the way to stop the work that God called you to do. You're going to have opportunities to quit. You're going to have opportunities to do other things other than what God, well, I'll just, you know, it's Thursday tomorrow. I'll just take a day off of doing what God wants. I wish we could take a day off of doing what God wants, but we can't. Amen? And when he speaks, we have to listen and we have to respond. And then he goes on to say, he said, don't say that there are 4 months, then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he's talking about souls. Now, if we look around, I'm sure that we can encounter people that need to know Jesus wherever we go, all right? Maybe in our own neighborhoods. I mean, we can go somewhere that we're going to encounter people that need Jesus. So, why did God put you in that situation? If you're in a situation with people that don't know Jesus, why are you there? You're there to help them to see Jesus. You're there to be Jesus to them. Because that's what God's will is, isn't it? Ultimately, God's will is to seek and save that which was lost, right? And that carries over to us. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And look at verse 17. He said, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, when you understand what the will of the Lord is, you can save a whole lot of time. How much time do we spend wandering and wondering what God's will is for our lives? You know, I've driven a lot of places, and whenever I go to some place that I've never been, or even sometimes some places that I've been, I have to turn around once or twice. You know, when someone gives you directions or, you know, the GPS, sometimes the GPS isn't always right. And sometimes, you know, it's recalculating and I feel like doing something else to the GPS. But I have turned around so many times that I kind of built a reputation for myself. That it, like it's almost, it's like when I don't have to turn around, I get cheered. But you know what? When you're following God, if you're not going the right way, he'll give you an opportunity to turn around, to make sure that you get on the right way, to make sure that you get to your destination. Let me tell you, God wants you to get to your destination. God wants you to finish his work with joy. He wants you to run this race called life. And he wants you to do great things for him. And if you don't think that you can do great things for God, well, listen, every one of us right now are fully equipped to do all that we need to do for God. God has equipped us to do his will. All right? You have a heart, you have a mind, you have a body, you have a mouth, you can do God's will. All right? If we're all still breathing here today, we're still here to do God's will, right? The only time you can't do God's will when you stop breathing. All right? But we got to do God's will. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm just giving you some general things about God's will. Verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Who's responsible for your body? You are. I'm responsible for my body. And I'm supposed to present it as a living sacrifice. Thank God we're not supposed to present it as a dead sacrifice. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word prove simply means show. How many of us want to show God's will? Well, do you realize that showing God's will is related to how we present our bodies? As to whether or not they're a living sacrifice? Holy, acceptable to God. There are things that we can do that are not acceptable to God. And if we're doing things that aren't acceptable to God, we cannot show His will. So something's going to have to change. If we're doing something that God doesn't accept, we're going to have to change it so that we can do His will. Because God's will, God accepts His will, doesn't He? I mean, after all, He's the one that made it. He's the one that created it. So He accepts it. And these are things that we have to do for God's will. All right? Now, there's a key to yielding to God's will. Everybody put both hands up. This is called a position of surrender. Isn't it interesting how surrender and praise look the same way? You can put your hands down. See, it is in the kingdom of God, it is through surrender that you gain the victory. It is through surrender. You know, it's the crushed grape that brings forth the juice. In order for a juice, in order for a grape to yield its juice, that grape has to be crushed. There's juice inside the grape, but to get that juice out, it's got to be pressed. It's got to be crushed. It's got to be squeezed. And when that grape is squeezed, it yields juice. All right? The word surrender means to give in or to give up. It means to admit defeat. It means that the one who lost the battle has to lay down his arms or his weapons. Okay? On the positive note, surrender means to submit. It means to yield. It means to relinquish. It means to hand over. So when we're surrendering to God. We're handing our lives over to God. We're admitting that He got the victory over death, hell, and the grave. We're admitting that He won the battle, and so we are surrendering our lives to Him. We're not admitting defeat. We are yielding to His will. We're making our lives an open for something that He can work through, that He can work in, and that He can work through. Surrender. All right? So as we surrender, that means we stop resisting the work of His Holy Spirit. When you're surrendered to God, you say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Now, how many know that sometimes God having His way means correction? It means instruction. You know, because in order for God to get His way, He's got to correct some things in us sometimes, doesn't He? But know this, when he's correcting you, he's loving you. All right? And I'm not here to preach about correction so you can breathe a sigh of relief. Amen? See, when you surrender to God, the conflict of whose will is going to be accomplished is over. When you surrender to God, you make up your mind. You say, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be who you want me to be. Case closed. Period, at the end of the sentence. You're not going to add or take away anything that God says. You're simply going to just do it. Whatever it is, whatever God wants. You now put yourself in a position where you can please God. Where you can do things just to please him. All right? You should submit to God's plan for your life and follow his pattern to live a successful life. How many know that Jesus left us a pattern of success? He showed us how a natural person can live in the kingdom of God. Jesus came. He didn't just tell us how to do it. He showed us how to do it. He showed us how to be a person to do what God says and to do what God, you know, Jesus said, what I do, I see my Father do. He was simply doing what God showed him to do, and he did it, and he had success. And we can have the same success that Jesus had. We can walk this life doing God's will, accomplishing what he wants, and we can be successful doing it. Say, God wants me to be successful. He wants you to successfully accomplish his will on this earth. And you know what? He's given each of us a span of time to do his will. You have one lifetime to do God's will. One. Once this life is over, once this life is finished, your time for doing God's will is done. So we have to be about the Father's business right now. You can't wait till tomorrow. You can't put off doing God's will at some later date. You got to be about the Father's business right now. Amen? And in this very moment, make a decision in your heart that you're going to follow God where he wants to go, no matter what that means. You know, my mom, it's good to have my mom here too. But you know, we were talking, sometimes serving God can be dangerous. Think about the Apostle Paul for a minute. Everywhere that he had a meeting, a group of Jews would show up to incite trouble and to stir up the crowd against Paul. Because this group of Jews actually avowed that they're not gonna eat until Paul's dead. But did that stop Paul from having meetings? Did that stop Paul from planting churches? Did all the trouble that Paul had, was it enough to stop him doing what God wanted him to do? Nope. And Paul got to the place in his life where he was instructing Timothy. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course with joy. Now I can go on to the next phase. Paul was one who he didn't start off doing God's will. He started off doing his own will. He started off doing what he thought was right. Until God had a meeting with Paul one day on the road to Damascus. Now, Paul didn't know about the meeting, but God had it in his appointment book. And Paul was just doing his business, and there he was, and God appeared to him, and he said, my Lord, he said, you know, Paul, Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? In Paul's mind, he didn't think he was persecuting the Lord. He thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. But it was so far from the fact. And so God gave Paul 3 days to determine in his mind if he was going to completely surrender to God's will. Why do I say that? Because Paul became blind. He went from being able to see, and in one moment, he couldn't see. And he was blind for 3 days. And those 3 days, Paul had to make up his mind whether or not he was going to serve God and do his will. God's will for Paul was to be an apostle. If you read the epistles, he starts off by saying, Paul, an apostle of God by the will of God. You read the beginning of his letters that he writes to the churches. He was what he was by the will of God. God wanted him to do what he was doing. And God said, I want you to go to the Gentiles, I want you to go to the kings, the Gentiles, and the Jews. Well, you know, Paul loved the Jews because he was a Jew also. And he would go to the Jews first. But which group gave him the most trouble? Yeah, the Jews. Until Paul got to the point where he said, you know, forget you guys, I'm going to the Gentiles. Right? Well, it would have saved him a lot of trouble if he would have just done what God said, like God said it. You read in Acts 9, you can find out what God called him to. And, you know, God told Ananias that Paul was a chosen vessel. So, I want you to go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Fear not, be of good cheer, God is here. Luke 22, verse 39. Jesus came out and went, as was his custom was, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples followed him. Jesus was about to go to the olive press. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. See, this was a decision that Christ had to make. Not only was he going to be crucified, but for the first time, he was going to become sin who knew no sin. For the first time, he was going to be separated from the Father. Remember when he was on the cross? And what were his words on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why did Jesus say that? Because it was that moment that he took on the sin of the world. He took on all of our sin, all of my sin, all of your sin. He took it on himself, and he became sin who knew no sin, and it was at that moment that God had to turn his back on him. Simply because he was taking the sin of the world on himself. And now he's in the garden, and he would pray. He said, Lord, if this cup could pass from me, let it pass. But he determined in his heart not what he wants, but he wants what God wants. And sometimes surrendering and yielding to God's will, it's going to take this kind of prayer to pray through. He was becoming consecrated to God's will. He wanted what God wants. And he's saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Lord, if there's any other way, let's do it another way. But not my will, yours be done. This is the only time that you'll ever find a prayer with, if it be your will. You don't. When it comes to healing, you don't have to pray if it be your will. God clearly laid out what his will is concerning healing and sickness. You don't have to pray if it be your will when you know that someone needs to be saved, because it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It is God's will that no man perish. Okay, that's clearly laid out. But sometimes you're going to be faced in the moment of decision. You're going to be in the olive press. And you're going to be pressed with the pressures to not do God's will, to try to find some other way. Verse 44, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. He didn't give up on his prayers. He prayed harder. He prayed more. He prayed with more intensity. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. They obviously weren't as willing as he was to fight this. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. There's going to be times in our life where you're going to have to give up everything, and you're going to have to focus with intense prayer in those moments, where you conform to God's will. Because there's things that are telling you why you shouldn't, your flesh is saying why you shouldn't obey God's will. The opinions of others are thinking that you're crazy for obeying God's will, or that they're thinking you're crazy for doing what God wants you to do. We're all going to face these times. We're all going to have times like this. This is not going to be every time, but there will be times when what is on the inside of you needs to come out in the press. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? See, when Jesus surrendered to God's will was the cross. It was the only way that man could be saved. There was not another way. Nothing else would have worked to satisfy God. And Jesus was the man to go through this. God had ordained him for this. He knew this. He spoke of his death before it happened many times. He knew that he was going to be here to die. He knew that he was going to be here to give his life a ransom for many, to be a sacrifice. Would you be willing to die for the Lord if necessary? If you ever heard of the Fox's Book of Martyrs, it talks about all the people who died because they refused to give up Jesus. They refused to give up their faith in God. They refused to denounce Jesus, so they took death instead. Stephen, he was the first martyr. He didn't back down. He took a stand for Christ, and Christ stood up for him. But this whole point is surrender. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. If you want to yield completely to God's will, you're going to have to surrender. You're going to have to give up some things that you may want or that you want to do in order to do what God wants you to do. Isn't that right? Now, when you do what God wants you to do, will he take care of you? Absolutely. How many know that little boy who gave up his lunch, he probably didn't really want to give up his lunch? I mean, I'm not talking about like he didn't desire, but you know, it's just the flesh. All right? He probably was looking forward to that launch. But he came to Jesus and he gave it. He surrendered it to the Lord. Now, I guarantee you that that little lunch that he gave up turned into 12 baskets. Wouldn't that be awesome? Your mom makes you this lunch, and you get back to your mom and you say, what'd you do with your lunch? Did you enjoy your lunch? Was it good? He said, I gave it away. What do you mean you gave it away? Yeah, but I got 12 baskets instead. I mean, now those baskets that were left over had to go to someone. I guarantee you they went to the person who gave it. So anything that God asks you to give up, he's got something better in mind. He's got something that's more glorious, that far exceeds your expectations. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ. See, even if you thought that you could get to heaven by good works and you found out that you can't, giving up good works is not that big of a deal, all right? Because you're justified by faith. And let's go down to verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If you're trying to build the things that you destroyed, or that, you know, that you thought you had to give up, you thought that what you had was better than what the Lord wants to give you. All right, that makes you a transgressor. Then verse 19, he says, for I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live to God. I am crucified with Christ. Crucified. Paul considered himself to be dead who he was. He did not consider himself any longer a persecutor. He considered himself an apostle. He took on the mindset of an apostle and he gave up the mindset of a persecutor. Why? Because he was totally surrendered to God's will. He said, nevertheless, I live. Although I'm crucified, I live. He thought crucifixion, you know, if you think crucifixion is bad, but if you think living through after crucifixion, that's good, isn't it? Yeah, I was crucified, but I'm living. But Christ lives in me. Woo! How many want Christ to live in you? Paul got to the point where he was living because Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing was living on the inside of him. See, what Paul exchanged to get that, what Paul gave up to get Christ living on the inside of him, he gave up a religious mindset. He gave up the works. He gave up all this stuff, but he had Christ living in him. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, instead of living by works or living by what the law said, now Paul's living by faith. In faith, there's freedom. Paul now had the ability to choose. He was not confined anymore. And see, this is what happens when we surrender ourselves to God. When you surrender yourself to God, there's an exchange that takes place. God's life comes in you. God's strength comes in you. God's power flows in you and through you. It's all because we choose to surrender our will. And we're focused now. We live focused doing what God wants us to do. And at any given moment, we're ready to do what God says. Right now, if God says to you, give this, in your mind, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to give it because I'm surrendered. You know why you can be a free giver? because you're a free receiver. What did Jesus tell the disciples? Freely you have received, freely give. You can give freely because you've received freely. Say this with me. Say, giving is a good thing. Giving is what God does. When I give, I'm acting like God. And when I give, God will bless me. When you give your time, when you give of your energy, of yourself, when you give your finances, it doesn't matter. Give in what? It. Whatever it you give, it's going to be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God will cause men to give into your bosom. Say that fast 10 times. Look at verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. You know, too often we do things that frustrate the grace of God. Grace is a free gift, isn't it? Anytime we try to mix works with a free gift, it doesn't work. It's frustrating. So don't live your life frustrating the grace of God. But be a person who is yielded, surrendered to God's will. God has a will for every one of us. And God will show you exactly what his will is for you. He'll speak to you. He'll show it to you. He'll teach you. He will teach us to do his will. And I guarantee you that when you do his will, you'll find that it's the thing that excites you the most. So be what God's called you to be. Do what God's called you to do. Go where God's called you to go. Your life, my life, is not my own. Your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. Now glorify God in your body. Amen? And let's be people who are, you're ready at any moment to do whatever God wants you to do. If you're ready, stand up and say amen. Amen. Now we're going to look at things that we should surrender to, and we're going to look at things that we shouldn't surrender to. And through it all, God's going to give us a better picture of what it means to be yielded completely to his will. Being yielded to God means you're an empty vessel and you allow God to put in you whatever he wants. How much of ever he wants. Amen? When God is pouring on you, don't say, okay, God, okay, that's enough. You just let God do what he wants to do. Don't you tell God how much is enough. All right? You just receive it, all of it. Everybody, just put your hands up and say, Father, I surrender to you. Fill me with the knowledge of your will, with wisdom and understanding. Strengthen me to carry out your will, to fulfill your desires. I am yours, and you are mine. And I thank you that I know what your will is. I'm ready to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, we just take authority. We rebuke the winds. And we thank you, Father, that you are our shield and our buckler. And as we go tonight, you will protect us and you will be with us. And you know what? If you're here tonight and you have a need in your life, whatever that need may be, I have a God that wants to meet that need. I have a God that can exceed that need. Whatever need you have in your life, and if you want me to pray with you about that need, I believe that God will meet that need in the name of Jesus. So I want to just invite